today as we come to the table.
Religion can take many forms. Religion can be simply going to church. Religion can be doing good works. I'm going to do nice things for God, maybe giving to charity or whatever it might be. Religion can be honoring nature and animals as something spiritual and special. Religion can be getting into meditation techniques such as yoga or transcendental meditation, or any number of religious activities can be a religious attempt by us to reach God. It's something we're trying to do to get to God. But God has to finally get our attention at some time in our life where he says, you know what? Enough. Now I'm going to show you that I'm reaching out to you. It's not you trying to reach me because you can't.
Have you ever tried so hard at something and realized that you were just in way over your head? Maybe this is a little silly, but imagine trying to fly by flapping your arms. It's ridiculous, right? You can flap as much as you want, and you can train and condition and develop your technique, but you're never going to fly. It's just not going to happen. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches you that religion is no replacement for a right relationship with God. You can practice piety till you're blue in the face. You can sell everything you have to the poor and do good deeds to everyone you cross paths with. But it will never make you right with God. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Genesis chapter 28, looking at Jacob's dream. We'll be starting in verse 10 and just go to the end. Notice it says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz previously. And then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And the stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word this morning. And right now I ask that you would awaken us, even as you awoke Jacob. And Jacob did not realize that you were in that place. Lord, you're in this place. Let us realize your presence today. Open our eyes, God. Open our ears. Open our hearts. And I pray that you would minister, Lord. God, not only to those of us who already know you and how we can see your faithfulness in the midst of this to the believer, but Lord, for those that don't yet know you and we can see your faithfulness to the unbeliever to open their eyes and bring them to yourself, even as you did for Jacob. And we thank you, Father, and ask your blessing on this time and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember last, we ended up with Isaac giving the final blessing there to Jacob, and Jacob now on the run. You say, what do you mean on the run? Well, Esau said, I'm going to kill him. He's taken my birthright. He's taken my blessing, and I'm going to take his life. And Rebekah heard what Esau said. And so she goes and to Jacob and makes a plan and says, look, you've got to get out of here. You can't be here. Your brother said he's going to kill you. And don't worry, when his anger passes, you can come back. And so she said, you've got to go. Well, she needed to make it look like he was leaving for a legitimate reason. So she came up with a scheme. She went to Isaac. She said, Isaac, look, we don't want Jacob marrying the women of this land. They're unbelieving. They're pagan. They're not part of God's plan. And I'll be grieved if he marries women here the way that Esau did. Let's send him back to our own family and let him find a wife there and carry on the godly line. And so Isaac sees that as a logical conclusion. And again, the right thing to do. And so he sends him on and says, all right, take off. And then we see Isaac taking off back to Haran. But again, the bottom line is Isaac is on, or rather, Jacob taking off back to Haran, but Jacob is on the run. And you know how I can associate with that? You know, one of the things I really appreciate about this particular portion of scripture with Jacob is that I can associate in a great way. Because even as Jacob was on the run early in his life, I was on the run as well. And what we're going to see is Jacob's on the run. God is there to meet him. And God's going to open Jacob's eyes and reveal himself to him and show him that he is the way unto salvation. Maybe right now you're on the run in some form and fashion. Maybe not running from a town or running from, you know, a particular person, but maybe running from a situation. Maybe running from God, whatever the case might be. God is going to meet you. And I believe that if your heart is receptive, God will meet you today. And my hope is that you'll say the same thing Jacob did. Surely God is in this place and I didn't know it. And it's entitled here, From Religion to Relationship. And again, this is something that I can associate with Jacob in as well, because Jacob is going to now move today from his parents' religion to his own personal relationship with God. And you see, there comes a time in our life when all of us have to move from the place of religion to the place of personal relationship with God. And I remember when that time happened in my place. You see, religion and relationship are two very different things. And what do I mean? Well, we need to describe that. Religion, note this, is man's attempt to reach God. If you're a note taker, that's exactly what religion is. Man's attempt to reach God. But relationship is the exact opposite. It's God's attempt to reach man. In one instance, man is reaching up trying to get to God. In the other instance, God is reaching down and saying, look, you don't have to reach me. I'm reaching you. You just need to have your eyes open so that you can see that. God has in all of us built in a natural desire for the things of the Spirit. Now, before you came to the Lord, you were drawn to religion or something of the Spirit or whatever it might be. Maybe you didn't even know why. You just felt you were drawn to it, because God says in his word, he's put that in all of us. Everyone has a desire. Even those who claim that they're unbelievers, they have a desire for something spiritual. Now, if you harden that long enough, you'll get to where you want nothing to do with God or anything spiritual at all. But if not, you typically start out with a desire for religion. And that is trying to reach up to God. Everyone starts typically in that place, a place of religion. And religion can take many forms. Religion can be simply going to church. Religion can be doing good works. I'm going to do nice things for God, maybe giving to charity or whatever it might be. Religion can be honoring nature and animals as something spiritual and special. Religion can be getting into meditation techniques such as yoga or transcendental meditation. Or any number of religious activities can be a religious attempt by us to reach God. It's something we're trying to do to get to God. But God has to finally get our attention at some time in our life where he says, you know what? Enough. Now I'm going to show you that I'm reaching out to you. It's not you trying to reach me because you can't. Again, you think of the Tower of Babel. They built the tower as high as they could. We're not going to be able to ever build something high enough to reach God. God has to reach down to us. And it's interesting, even when you read the story of the Tower of Babel, when they built it and they thought they were building this great monument in the sky to God, it says God came down to see what they were building. God has to even come down to see our greatest efforts to reach up. And so understand, we can't do it by religion, and we have to pass from those efforts of religion and get into the avenue of relationship. And again, the avenue of relationship is the one that God wants us to have. How do we get that avenue of relationship? Well, Jacob is going to find out today. And that is by the ladder that leads from earth to heaven and that connection that leads from man to God. The Bible says we've been separate from God. We're born separated. Understand that. And the only way we can get reconnected to God is how? By a ladder up to heaven, by some type of bridge that takes us back to God. And Jacob's going to see what that bridge is today, and we're going to see what that bridge is as well. Now, again, note this. I talked about Jacob moving from his family's religion to a relationship with the Lord. And again, that's something that each one of us need to do. And maybe some of you, you're still living by your parents' religion. You grew up going to church, and so you go to church. Or you grew up doing something religious, and you're doing that religious thing. Listen, it's got to move from religion to relationship. And again, we'll see that happen in Jacob's life. God now makes his move with Jacob. Notice verse 10. Jacob on the run now. Remember the setting. Jacob went out from there, from Beersheba, and went toward Haran. And notice this, he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and lay down in that place to sleep. The first thing I want you to notice here is that Jacob came to a certain place. Note that. Because yes, indeed, there's a literal application. Yeah, he came to a certain place and all this, but I believe there's a spiritual application as well here in what God is doing inside of Jacob, and that is this. God has now brought Jacob to a certain place where he can get Jacob's attention. You see, Jacob had been living under his mom's care and under his mom's watchful eye and under mom and dad's religion all of his life, but now God needed to get Jacob out of that atmosphere and put him in a certain place where now God could get his attention. And see, this is where things pass from religion to relationship. Here's where things pass from an area where we're not really thinking of the things of God to moving into the things of God. I remember when I came to the Lord, before I came to the Lord, you know my story. I grew up as a preacher's kid, and of course I had traveling pastors coming through, and I was in church every week, but I never really heard God's voice myself. I never saw the Lord for myself. And so I wasn't in that place. Now, I'm not blaming God. I think that God had to get me to a place where I could hear, even as God had to get Jacob to a place where he could hear. But God had to bring me to a certain place. And I remember that certain place was finally in Nashville, Tennessee, after running from the Lord, like Jacob was on the run, and running from the things of God all those years. God finally got my attention, got me to a certain place where I couldn't run any longer, and said, now that I've got him in this place, I can get his attention. Maybe God's got you in that place. Maybe finally God has you in a place, that certain place where he can reach you, and he's been trying so hard to do that. But notice what else happened here when God got him in this certain place. And again, I associate all too well with this. Notice he stayed there all night because the sun had set. You know, it was a very dark place in my life when God finally got my attention. It seemed like everything was sunny up to that point. I was young, I had strength, I had energy, I had all my visions and dreams. You know how we are as kids. I was gonna be a famous musician. I grabbed my guitar and moved to Nashville, and boy, when they finally find out what I can do, and boy, they found out, and that's why I'm back in Knoxville. But that's a different story. You don't think about that when you're going. You have all these ambitions in your youth, you know, and you get there and all this, and you're excited, and the sun is shining. Again, there was a song I remember back then, even when I was, you know, in the world back then, the future's so bright, I need shade. And again, that was kind of how it was, my viewpoint. And yet when I got there, I realized, you know what? The sun began to set on my life. And my life began to fall apart. I'm like, why is my life falling apart? It began to spiral down into all kinds of things. I won't go into the whole testimony. The point is, my life started becoming very, very dark, and the sun was setting on my heart. And yet I didn't realize at that time this was a certain place that God had brought me to. A certain place, a certain time, and God allowed the darkness to move in. God allowed all these things to take place so that he could get my attention. Because you see, if God had not brought me to a certain place where I was all alone, away from my family, and God had not allowed the sun to begin to set on my life, I probably never would have looked up. But it didn't stop there. God loved Jacob so much that notice he also put him in a hard place. Notice the third thing in this verse I want you to take note of. He took one of the stones of that place and put it where his head was for a pillow. I think Jacob was a little hard-headed. And you know what? God knows how to make a hard-headed person soft-headed. And what he does is he makes your circumstances hard. And the very place that you should find rest becomes very difficult. And now Jacob is in that place. I remember after God got me to that place in Nashville where my heart was ready to hear, and the sun began to set on my life and all my things that I thought I was going to do. And God said, no, there's something different that I have for your life. And God wanted to save me from my sin. You know, God made it very hard. It was a hard place. It seemed that everywhere I turned, it was stones. It was rock. People were hard. My life was hard. There wasn't any family to run to. I didn't have any friends. Everything was hard. And that's why I can associate with Jacob, because God brought me to that place. But see, here's my encouragement to you, because if God has you in a place right now where it's hard and where the sun seems to be setting on everything you thought you ever wanted in life or what you wanted to do, it may be the exact place that God wants you to be. And why is that? Number one, as a believer, it may take that for you to start looking up again and for God to rework in your life what he wants to work, because you veered off. And for an unbeliever, it may be the only thing that'll get your attention. I think the best thing that ever happened in my life was it falling apart. You know, we think, oh God, you know, if you love me, why don't you bless me and everything go great? If everything had gone great in my life, I probably would still be unsaved and on my way to hell. How I thank God that he brought me to a hard place. How I thank God that he allowed me to see the darkness that my life was in. And moms and dads, if God is doing that in your kids, don't panic. It could be the greatest thing that ever happened to your children. If it gets them to look up, certainly our heart breaks as parents, but also God uses that to bring our children to Him, but also in your life, in my life. God will allow these times if you're in a hard place, but you might say, but Mark, I'm a believer and I'm in this hard place. God will use that as well. God knows what He's doing. And God was doing a work in Jacob's life. He knew what Jacob needed to be able to learn what it was that God wanted him to learn. And notice it says, then he dreamed. You know, there's nothing like restlessness to make you dream. And I think having a stone for a pillow could cause some restlessness. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. I love this. Notice this. God gets into a place where his life is hard and dark, but now he's open to see what God wants him to see. And what is that? A ladder stretching from earth to heaven. You see, what Jacob needed in his life was not more religion, not going to church and doing sacrifices like his mom and dad had done. He needed to understand that he had to have a connection to God as well. And you see, I had grown up in my mom and dad's religion, but I'd never seen the ladder to heaven. And the ladder to heaven is who? Shouldn't I say what? No, who? What do I mean who? Because the ladder to heaven Jesus identified was him. He said in John 14:6, no one goes to the Father except by me. And he even specifically revealed to Nathanael that the vision that Jacob had of the ladder connecting earth to heaven was indeed himself in typology. Jesus talking to Nathanael in John 1:51 said this, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending, ring a bell? And notice what he says at the end, upon the Son of Man. Really? You see, what Jesus was saying is, I'm the bridge from earth to heaven. I'm the one that reconnects man back to God. Man has been separated by sin. Man cannot reach God by religion. He can't do works. He can't get all these things to try to get to heaven on his own. It's only done by me reaching down by what I did on the cross in my blood and resurrecting the third day. And now I reach down to all of mankind. And when their eyes are open, when they're in that certain place where they can see, then they'll now see that the ladder is me and they have that bridge back to God. Isn't that exciting? See, Jesus Christ is that ladder. He is that bridge. And that's why, you know, when you're sharing with people, you need to be praying, God, open their eyes. We're going to see in a minute, again, where he says, God is in this place and I didn't know it. You know, God is in every place. And when we're sharing Jesus Christ with someone, or when you're hearing right now the gospel, that is the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done, you know, whether you see it or not, it depends on whether or not your eyes are open. And so we need to pray when we talk to people, God, open their eyes. Let them see that ladder to heaven. Let them see that bridge that's been built there, because if they don't see it, they're not going to respond to it. Now, it's interesting. The word ladder can either mean ladder or some would say staircase, but either way, it's this bridge connecting God to man, and Jacob now is seeing that bridge for the first time himself. His eyes have been opened, and we need to be able to relay that to others, and we need to be able to pray for them that their eyes can be open. Now, don't be discouraged if they don't see it right then. Just plant seeds. You know, I've had people that I've shared with and they don't get it at all, but seeds are being planted. I've had others that have come in and they're ready to give their life without me saying a word, without saying anything. And they want to give their life to the Lord. Why? Because the seeds have been planted and their eyes have been opened and they see now this bridge to heaven. And now Jacob's eyes are opened and he sees this bridge to heaven, and yet he's going to understand exactly what this is later. But now God's beginning to reveal this to him. And notice it says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. And now we see him again reiterating that promise that he would give it to he and his descendants. And he says, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So notice, we can look back historically and see that's exactly what has happened. Again, the Jews have spread to the west, the east, the north, and south. They're all over the world. And God said in the last days, after they spread, I'm going to gather them back to their land in Israel. And right now, they're being gathered back. We've already seen some, I guess, 5 to 6 million Jews now. It might be as high as 7, I don't know, back in the land now where they've come back to Israel and Jerusalem. The Bible says God's going to continue to draw them back because God is going to once again fulfill the promise he's giving right here to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and restoring them to the land and restoring them as a people to him. Right now, they don't know the Lord and they're not walking with the Lord, but at the same time, God says, I'm going to restore them, and one day they will. Notice here, again, he says, not only am I going to bring you back to the land, which we've seen, or I'm going to spread you rather to the east, the west, the north, and the south, which we've seen, but notice this, he says also, all the earth will be blessed by you And what a blessing the Jews have been to the world. Now, a lot of people don't feel that way today. But let me tell you some of the blessings that the Jews have been to the world today. Number one, the Messiah came through their bloodline. God chose that nation to send the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, into the world to save mankind. What is another way they've been a blessing to the world? They preserve the scriptures. If it hadn't been for God using the Jews to preserve the word of God, you would not be hearing the word of God. Why? It wouldn't be recorded. But God moved in their hearts as a people and as a nation to record the word of God, to continue to record it throughout the ages and to pass it down. And now we have the Bible. And so again, you see, we have a great debt of gratitude to the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And so God says, I'm going to use you as a blessing, and they have been a blessing. I know the nation of Israel is not honoring God right now, and I know the Jews right now are not honoring him. They're very irreligious, very irreverent to the Lord. But at the same time, we owe them a great deal. And so we need to show them the honor and respect that's due and realize that without this nation, we would not be where we are today. Certainly God could have done it through whatever means he chose to do, but he chose the Jewish nation. And again, if God shows them such favor, then we should show them favor as well, even though they're not where they need to be. Again, we know that one day they will be. It tells us scripturally. So again, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And here we are being blessed by the Jews as the Messiah came through their bloodline as we're studying the word of God. And notice he goes on in verse 15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. This would have been music to Jacob's ears. Why? He's on the run. Remember, Esau's going to try to kill him. And so now he's for the first time away from his family and separate from his family, and he feels all alone. And he realized not only all alone, he's in a dangerous place, you know, and what's going to happen? And God says, don't worry, I'll be with you. You know, I remember again in Nashville when I was there all alone, no friends, no family. My life began to fall apart. And when I gave my life to the Lord, God said, I will be with you. And God has been faithful. He told all of us, he said, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God has given you the same promise he gave to Jacob. I'm going to be with you. And so if you think you're alone, nobody understands me, I'm all alone. You're not. The Lord is with you. And God is going to be with you continually. He said that. And so now he tells Jacob, I'm going to be with you. And no doubt it gave him comfort in being away from his family, but also knowing there would be this level of protection from Esau, who would try to come in and possibly even chase him down and kill him. He says that I will bring you back to this land. Again, we know from scripture that 20 years later, he did bring him back. And by the way, when he brings him back, this promise is going to be the first thing we see Jacob mention. As he comes back to the land, he starts reminding God. And when he comes back in, he's coming in the land after 20 years of being gone, and he's there at the Ford Jabbok, and it says the Lord comes and wrestles with him, and it's this night of wrestling with the Lord before the next day he runs back into, guess who? Esau. You see, his servants had told him, Esau is coming to meet you, and he wants to see you. You're his brother. And he's thinking, oh, brother, I remember what it was like when I left Esau. He wanted to kill me, and probably 20 years of anger is built up, and this guy's going to... And they said, guess what? Esau's bringing 400 men with him. Oh, brother. See, the bottom line is he realizes I'm in big trouble here, or he thinks he is. And the first thing he does is remind God of the promises that he gave him.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.